The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but when you listened to this program last week, you heard me defend Christianity and speak against Islamic jihad. That makes you wonder once in a while if this radio show is ever objective enough to be critical of Christians when they go off the deep path. That's a very good question, my friend. As a matter of fact, I have been very critical of fellow Christians on this program, and I have called out churches when they have been legalistic or stupid or just plain sinful. One such church is the infamous Westboro Baptist Church, in the news again for saying cruel and stupid things regarding the many gays killed 2 weeks ago at a bar in Orlando. Now, in the past, when Westboro staged a protest at a gay man's funeral, I called them out on this radio program, as I have called them out in my written column, and I called them out by calling them the disgusting, miserable, venomous excuse for human beings that they are. But today, Westboro is going to get it from both barrels. Not only will they hear from me, but they will also hear much from another pastor who doesn't like them a lot. No matter, because this is a pastor that I like a lot, my good friend and rotating co-host, Jim Barrier. Jim, welcome back to our program.
Wow. Hey, Bob. That's quite an introduction. I don't know if I can live up to it.
Well, I don't want the people from Westboro Baptist to feel left out from our program.
Well, you know,
and I'm sure if my program ever got on their radar, they'd have plenty to say about me, too.
Well, they'd probably label you as a heretic, but, you know, that's been done before. So,
yeah. Throughout church history, a lot of people labeled heretics were just those speaking the actual truth.
But, you know, it's an excellent point. How in the world they can react by doing, make the statements they've done and that behavior and do it in the name of Christ, I'm just bewildered at that type of mentality. And I have a big problem with it because, as you know, I have a lot of friends who are not believers. And so they want to know, well, you know, why do Christians think that? You're a Christian, and they know me. I don't think that way. I don't have that type of mentality or behavior. But it's a problem for non-believers. And they look at that, and it's hard for them to sort out, well, who's a Christian, who's not, and how can Christians behave like that? And if that's, you know, some will say, if that's what a Christian is like, I want no part of it.
Well, and it becomes guilt by association, because
right. The
Bible does say homosexuality is a sin. We both agree with that. But you and I would never go to a gay person's funeral and give additional misery to the family or tell a homosexual that we don't love them. And Christ died for everybody, and we're all sinners. To be fair, a lot of times in churches, you have people that just think that what their pastors tell them is true, and so there might be a lot of gullibility. I think those pastors will probably be held much more responsible. It does say in James that those of us who teach will be judged with greater strictness on Judgment Day.
Absolutely, and there is an epidemic in the church culture of just believing what somebody says without doing your own homework, without researching. We might get to this in a little while, but reading the Bible, I'm amazed at the biblical illiteracy in the church at large. It's just shocking at what people don't know about the Scriptures, but then they will parrot what they hear a preacher on TV or in the pulpit or somewhere else. They'll just repeat what that person says without even resourcing it.
Yeah, that's true. Dangerous. A lot of times people just, if their pastor tells them something, they automatically accept it instead of going to the Bible as their authority. Now, I only gave a cursory look to what Westboro was doing this time. So you probably looked into this more than me, at least this current one. I've looked into them a lot before. Now, I'm trying to remember, do they actually hail from Texas, or do I have that remembered incorrectly?
No.
Good. One less thing for Texas to be blamed for.
No. Now, listen.
What part of the country are these jokers from?
We have a conservative redneck representation in Texas. I will admit that, though I am originally from San Diego, where you are. Westboro, yikes. You know what I did? I went off and left my notes. I want to say maybe Kentucky, I don't know, but I know it is not Texas.
Okay.
But I read the stories and I thought, and these people have had a history of stirring up things and being hateful in their language and stuff. But my concern goes a little deeper, and I posted this on Facebook. I said, I will be, and of course, yesterday was the funeral. I will be praying for all of the victims, their families, people affected by this tragedy. I think we should do that as Christians. I don't think we should be selective about who we pray for. We need to pray for everyone who is hurting. But what I posted was, it's even harder to take it up and not just say, and I'm going to pray for the perpetrator of the crime, his family, and the people who taught him to believe the way he did, to act out the way he did. We need to pray for those people because Paul says in Romans 12 that we need to pray for, bless those who curse us. And we need to, Jesus talked about, turning the other cheek, and there's all of that kind of stuff. And so I think it's not enough just to pray for the victims. We also have to pray for those people who have been evil in their actions, and we need to pray for Westboro Baptist Church and its pastor and any people who call themselves Christians but obviously espouse views and activities that are very unchristian. And so it's a really challenging thing because I think we have to pray for everyone on every side of this thing, and we have to pray with some wisdom and discernment. But I think, to be fair, we need to pray for all of the people on all sides of this, and I need to pray that God will guard my own heart, that I don't become bitter or hateful. You can do that. You can kind of do a reaction formation where you see something evil, and then you can become just as wicked.
Well, the only caveat I would add, I do agree that we're to pray for our enemies and that anybody can be forgiven, but we are also to speak out against evil.
Absolutely.
And so Jesus didn't mind calling the Pharisees whitewashed tombs with dead bones inside. I don't mind calling Westboro venom. However, if they were to repent and give their lives to Christ, that's wonderful. I certainly wouldn't begrudge them being forgiven.
Yeah. And that's my point. If we're going to have unconditional love and if we're going to truly love everyone, Jesus said, love your enemies. That's a hard thing to do. And it doesn't mean you are silent or that you condone things that are wrong. You do speak out. We have to speak out. But at the same time, we have to speak the truth in love, I think is what it says.
Again, the two sides of the gospel, which we've stressed a lot on this program. The gospel is the good news that we can be delivered from sins we've committed, but also we want to deliver people from the effects of other people's sins, and that's where the speaking out and standing up to evil comes from. And the turn the other cheek, I know, has sometimes been taken out of context, because that was a way of rabbis insulting each other back then. Yeah. They'd strike somebody on the cheek. So what Jesus is really saying there culturally is don't return insult to insult. He's not saying that if somebody comes up and starts beating you up, you have to just stand there and let him beat you to a pulp. That's a completely different context.
Yeah. But even in the verbal thing, I know you've seen it, and it's so easy to be sharp-tongued. That was one of the things that God had to deliver me from when I first became a believer, that I could just destroy people with my words. And I had to reel that in, and I had to surrender that to the Spirit of Christ and realize that that's damaging because you can assassinate a man with your words.
Yeah.
You don't kill him physically, but you can sure do harm with your words.
Oh, I agree. If you ruin a man's reputation, I remember when Clarence Thomas had those, and they've been absolutely proven as lies told about him.
Yeah.
He said, I would have preferred an assassin's bullet to this. What you've done is destroyed me. The man who stood before you yesterday is not here anymore. And I agree. I think he probably would have rather died.
Which, by the way, was an incredible double standard by some who would look the other way when there was a particular president who was womanizing and cheating all the time, and they just looked the other way, and they didn't call him out.
Well, Jim, you know the rules. The rules are that if it's a liberal, it gets a free pass from the media. Speaking of that, speaking of that, I know we've done this before. I told you I've been using Twitter lately, and I want to read just one tweet to you.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Right, everybody. It's time for another episode of Tweets with your old pal, Bob.
It's
doesn't that just move you? Just listening to this beautiful music. It's beautiful. It's beautiful music.
I'm gonna address that in a minute.
Okay. Here's my tweet. It's a very simple one. Hillary can be trusted to defend females. Emails.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's
it. All that song. I do have a couple of comments from it. Tim writes, good one, Bob. Janine writes, right to the point. And Dave responded, my tweets go right to Facebook. Dave responded with a cartoon. You really have to see the cartoon. But in the talking bubble, Hillary says, Mr. Trump, release your tax records. And Trump says, I emailed them to you. So I like that.
I did see that post. And you're right. It's always, kind of one-sided. I do have to take issue with you, though, Bob, and we've talked about this. The little tune there, Let's All Sing Like a Birdie Sing. I'm going to send Nick a little clip of Bobby Day's Rockin' Robin, where they sing Tweedledee-Dee-Dee.
Oh, I don't. I happen to know Nick as a big lover of Disneyland, and that comes right out of the Tiki Room. Now, I play it because I think it is a sappy song, and I'm doing it as satire. But I think Nick actually likes that song. So
it's gone.
You may he's saying in the affirmative.
Maple syrup.
So what I mean is satire. Nick takes seriously. You may not get very far. Or maybe just send him something from the Birds in the '60s. Just something the Birds.
That would be even better.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man. Maybe that'll do it.
You bet. I could go with that. Okay.
Well, speaking of that, we're going to go with Lawrence of Arabia before we go with that. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. 6 o'clock, TV hour, don't get caught in foreign tower, slice and burn, return, listen to yourself churn. Locking in, uniform and book, burning blood, letting every motive escalate, automotive center rate.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Jim Barrier, welcome back to our program.
Thanks, Bob. One last thing about, thank you for that that lead in there, Nick, with REM. And because I wanted to talk a little about this, the condition of the world right now, but the Westboro Baptist thing, is it out of line to suggest that when people do things that are very, very unchristlike and very much against his teachings, and then to tag his name onto it and do it in the name of Christ, is that not taking the name of the Lord in vain? Could that fall in that category?
Well, it certainly falls into the category of something God doesn't want. I think taking the Lord's name in vain specifically meant making a promise to God and not doing good with it, but it's close. It's certainly something God would consider a sin. And the problem is, you know, we have people threatening to take our free speech away. Even if somebody speaks lovingly but just expresses disagreement with the same-sex lifestyle, there are people today that want to call that hate speech. Westboro isn't making it too easy for us when they go out, and in their case, it really is hate speech. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
Although the Supreme Court, ironically, defended their right to actually protest at a funeral, which is kind of surprising.
You know, I am so confused with our Supreme Court these days. I'm not sure.
It's like a grab bag. You could do anything.
I don't know. Can we move on to another thing I wanted to get into?
Before we do, my lovely wife listening at home called in and said Westboro hails from Topeka, Kansas. There's hope then. If you're in Kansas, there's a good likelihood that a slight clone might pick up your house, take you to the land of Oz, and maybe the people at Westboro Baptist will be given a heart by the wizard.
Why, I'm an old Kansas man myself. Oh, man, okay.
Or here's an appropriate phrase. Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
You know, that's one of my favorite films of all time.
It is on my top 10 list. It is the second. Yeah. I put The Sound of Music as number one.
Okay, well, see, and I knew there was a reason why I liked you. So there are many. I want to hear what you have to say, but this is crazy. The whole thing that's going on in the UK, voting to leave the European Union, and boy, what the... a hornet's nest that stirred up.
Did it stir up a hornet's nest in Texas? Because I've been waiting for Texas to secede from this union.
It's already up. It's get this. It's T-E-X-I-T.
Texit. I like that. Well, you know, and a lot of people may not follow the European Union in some ways, not in every way, but in some ways, it's become like our United States of America, except that our nation was created as a federation of independent states, and then as the years went by, the states were getting less and less rights, and more and more of it was coming from the federal government. It's kind of a misleading phrase, but the Federalists, people like Thomas Jefferson, Federalists are actually people who define a federation as a loose federation, not a lot of concentration at the federal government. So what's going on here is now, in this case, you have people speaking different languages that were actually sovereign countries. Mm-hmm. And they joined the European Union at, what is it, about 16 or so in the European Union? Or it may even be more. It might be like 26.
More than that, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking more like 26, 27, maybe even more. But you have a lot of power now that's coming from Brussels, and it's including people in Brussels telling each of these countries how many immigrants they have to let in, and that's affecting the economy. And, of course, the worse terrorism gets, the more we have these politically correct talking points that we need to now let even more refugees in. It's not that countries shouldn't be letting refugees in, but there's a way of doing that. There's a way of vetting people. And so I think what we're seeing with England is a precursor. And of course, you know, once one monkey starts it, the others follow. France is already talking about leaving now. And Texas, I figure, of all the states, Texas was, unlike the rest of our states, its own independent republic.
And it is in the state constitution that
right.
we can secede from the Union, and it'll never happen.
And it did secede from the Union during the Civil War for what wasn't a very good reason, because of slavery. And that's what's so misleading now, because now when a state talks about secession, we think of the Civil War where they didn't have good reasons for leaving. But this time, I think it would be a good reason for states to leave if the federal government is, especially with what's going on with the Supreme Courts. We are run as an oligarchy now. Everybody's going nuts over who the next Supreme Court nominee is going to be, because it's going to tip the balance of power. Ladies and gentlemen, it shouldn't matter who the next Supreme Court nominee is going to be, because our Constitution never gave the court that much power. But try explaining that to anybody. And for all intents and purposes, now they have that power. We almost need to have another constitutional convention just to go back and reiterate that the one third of the government, one of three branches, was not supposed to have power that supersedes the other two.
No, they're just supposed to, interpret it. But it's gotten way out of hand, the whole thing with the balance of power between the three branches of the government is really nothing what it was intended to be, I think. I think most of what our government is doing is so far from the original intent of the founding fathers. And that's been well documented, and we've talked about that on this show. But this is what I think about this whole UK thing. People seem shocked at the results of the vote. And my thinking is what it did was it revealed what was already a problem, and that is that very much like this nation, there is a split of two extreme views, and neither side is willing to cooperate. It's see it my way because I'm right, and there's no cooperation, and now there's a big fight. And I see the same thing happening here. We just didn't have something to blow it open. This the election that's taking place right now, the primaries and the campaign that's going on, is revealing that there are two very different views among Americans. And I think that's what this whole EU thing, what do they even act on it? They may not even carry out the leaving the Union. But it's opened up this whole thing of that there are people that are just diametrically opposed in their views and their philosophy, and they have the same situation. I think I have several friends that live over there, and as soon as this happened, I started contacting them saying, you know, how do you feel about this? And then most of them are very concerned because there's great disunity in that great nation, the United Kingdom, and just as there is here, that's what concerns me, is the inability of people on the far right and the far left to say, look, neither one of us are going to have it our way. And so we need to do what's best for the nation and find things we agree on. And let's work on some of these things, and let's take care of some of these issues rather than name calling and finger pointing and blame shifting.
Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, it looks like we're on a road without any turns. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480539, W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel's latest novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, If only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs. What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Co-hosting today, my good friend Jim Barrier.
Hey, now let's go to another subject. I'm all over the map here tonight, but another topic that I've been reading about is now the folks that want to hijack the Republican convention and not hold delegates to their commitment.
That would be the stupidest thing the Republican Party ever did, and they've done a lot of stupid things already.
Yeah, I know. The bar is pretty low on that, you know.
Well, you know, look, here's the thing. I mean, what they're trying to do is they go back and say, well, originally, delegates weren't selected by primaries. And so who says we have to do it that way this time? Here's who says you have to do it that way this time, you bozos. This time you did have primaries. You don't go out and have people put blood, sweat, and tears into campaigns, have people go out to the polls thinking their votes are going to count. And then what, the delegates are going to just, what, dump Trump because they feel like it? If next time you want to just select delegates because you think you're all so high and mighty that you know better than the people who to pick, fine, do it that way. That is not the way the election started.
Right.
To change the rules midstream, it would be unfair. And I would say that even if it was somebody I liked less than Trump. And as you know, I only like Trump so much. But Trump will run as a third-party candidate as that happens. We'll split the vote. It will be probably the end of the Republican Party. And it'll probably be the end of our republic because Hillary will win, or whoever takes over, if Hillary gets indicted, will win. And that person will select the next Supreme Court justice. And that's it. That's it. So, Republicans, I implore you, don't be so stupid, so incredibly stupid. Do I now have to pray for them, Jim, because I called them out as stupid? Do I have to pray for them?
No, you know, you're just in agreement with Einstein.
Or give your lives to Christ. Well, I forgive you. Give your lives to Christ. But while you're giving your life to Christ, don't be so darn stupid.
You know, we are fools for Christ's sake.
Yeah, well, the GOP is fools for some other sake.
It just killing me to hear this kind of stuff going on, and I don't know what they possibly think they can gain. And you're right, because they're just going to hand the election over. And we've talked about Donald a couple of times. I'm not a big fan. But,
neither am I, but they should not do this.
Vote for somebody, and as is the case in much of the country. And again, this is that split. I think an awful lot of the people that are Hillary supporters, or Democrats or whatever, just hate Trump. And their view is anything but Donald Trump. And then a lot of the Republicans say anything but Hillary. And there really hasn't been anybody attractive, I mean that in a philosophical political sense, come along that really people say, yeah, that's the person that believes what I believe and they represent me and they stand for good things. I haven't heard really a whole lot out of Hillary about what it is, what her plan is, what she thinks we need, what we need to do, what she's going to do. I'm not sure I've heard.
Oh, I could tell you her plan. Her plan is to put the finger out to the wind every day and just go wherever the wind is blowing. That's her plan. Every time Bernie Sanders gets up and says something, she moves more to the left of Bernie. If she could get rid of Bernie, she'd try to move to the right of him again to go for the center. But I'll tell you something about Trump. He is doing one thing that GOP candidates have not done up to now, and that's really fight. Can you have imagined McCain or Romney? I mean, he's done a better job going after Hillary than McCain and Romney together did. We kept hearing with Obama, oh, don't criticize the man himself. Just talk about the economy. Don't call him a criminal. Oh, I'm sorry. Obama was a criminal. He is a criminal. Hillary is a criminal. I like the fact that Donald Trump calls them out. But, you know, here's the thing. Originally, I was concerned that Trump, you know, Trump went out and said, I pledge to run with the GOP unless they're not nice to me. Okay, it was pretty obvious that if he had lost the nomination, he would have claimed they weren't nice to him. And he probably would have bolted, and he probably would have run as a third-party candidate, and he probably would have gone back on his pledge. I mean, who are we kidding? But it did not happen that way. He won fair and square, and now we have others that made the pledge, such as Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush made that pledge. John Kasich made that pledge. They are going back on it. And Paul Ryan, when Obama made that comment about the Hispanic judge that was going to try his case, everybody knows what Trump meant. This judge belonged to an organization called La Raza, which thinks that all borders should be removed, which thinks that California should be given back to Mexico as well as Arizona. Trump could have said, and what he meant to say was, this person's views of the border are not compatible with mine. Therefore, we should seek a different venue in this case, if he's going to try my case. That's what he meant. He didn't say it that way. He talks without a filter. He comes on and says, the guy was a Mexican. He shouldn't have said it that way. I cringe. But you know what? Paul Ryan knew what Trump meant. Paul Ryan's not that stupid. When Paul Ryan gets up and calls it textbook racism, he could have said, our candidate misspoke. He could have picked his speech better. He could have reworded it. Paul Ryan did not need to get up and call that textbook racism. He was just looking to cover his own behind. He was thinking more about his own political career. And that's what they're all doing right now. And they're so arrogant, they think they could win by selecting some other person. Who are they going to select? John Kasich? The nice guy, the mealy mouth who looks at the fact that same-sex marriage has and the law about same-sex marriage that came from over 30 states overturned by the Supreme Court. Now Kasich goes, well, Megan, it's now the law of the land. You know, that's the kind of candidate they're going to put in. And you know what's going to happen? That candidate is going to lose.
The
conservatives are split about Trump. They go ahead and they do this. They'll lose half the conservatives. They'll lose half the evangelical Christians. They'll hold on to all of the rhinos, and they'll lose all of the independents and all of the conservative Democrats that Trump brought their way. So, but you know what? I think they're going to try it. I only pray that it doesn't succeed. But I think they're going to go for it, Jim. I think they're going to try it. Those idiots, they're going to try it.
And I'm almost, I don't even want to watch. Because
it'll still make good television.
It'd be so ugly.
Well, at least you and I can come on the radio and talk about it. We get to vent this way. We get to, something good can come out of it. It makes great radio. It's going to make for a lousy republic, though, unfortunately.
Well, let me be a negative person here for just a moment. If all that plays out, like you said, and if it winds up handing the election over to Hillary or whoever, then we're going to be back on to the fairness issue, and you may not have a show in a few years.
Oh, Hillary Clinton is all for the fairness doctrine, which isn't fair. It says that for every hour of conservative radio, there has to be an equal hour of liberal.
Well, let's do that on TV.
As if the government doesn't already own the National Broadcasting Company, which plays all liberal. But, it's a joke.
Let's flip that and say, for every hour of liberal television, there needs to be an hour of conservative TV.
Oh, I'll go you one better. For every every liberal professor at a college campus, we have to have a conservative one. And you know what? What's the one network that Hillary and Obama speak against? The only network that does show you both sides is Fox. Yeah. And that's the only one that they want to take off. You think MSNBC is being fair and balanced? Okay.
No,
we'll be right back.
Okay.
Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda. But you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. but they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Our program. This is Bob Siegel and Jim Barrier. Jim, you were just about to go negative.
Oh man, I'll tell you. And I love Justin Hayward and the Moody Blues, and they're one of my favorites. Well, just the whole thing that the slippery slope. I think we hit the slippery slope a ways back. That's what I'm afraid. And I think we're just going to hang on for the ride because it's all downhill from here. But I'm just greatly concerned about all of these patterns that I see. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about what is the church doing? And by church, I mean, the body of Christ at large, people who are followers of Christ. By the way, I loved your plug about Skyline because that's where I first became a believer.
And Skyline's one of the few churches that'll fight the fight these days. Pastor Jim Garland will take this on, but a lot of churches, as long as someone's showing up Sunday morning and coming to the Wednesday night potluck, they take this view of, oh, well, wouldn't it be wonderful if we lost our freedom? That would mean the Antichrist is going to come.
Yeah,
that would mean the Christ is going to come 7 years later, blah, blah, blah. And instead they disobey the Bible's mandate to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world.
Exactly, yeah. And Skyline, just again to plug a little bit, because it was my very first church, has had a long history of great pastors who are not afraid to speak the truth, and so it is a great thing. I'm out here in Texas, and I'm telling you folks, that's a good church. So go there.
It's like the little Texas embassy here in California.
There you go. But when you within the Christian community, I'm hearing things that really disturb me of late, and some of these things, like the issues of same-sex marriage and we shouldn't judge. But even deeper things theologically, I have heard friends of mine, pastors, people in ministry say things like this. Well, don't get too caught up with the Bible and all of that. You know, not all of it is relevant to us, and not all of it really can be trusted.
Well, that comes from a very dangerous but subtle movement that's been popular as of late called the emergent church.
Yeah. And I'm in the post-emergent church, by the way. I had a friend post a thing on Facebook and it said, listen, I don't need the Bible to know Jesus. And I called him on it and said, how can you know Jesus without the Bible? How do you know who Jesus is, what he claimed, what you haven't even heard of Jesus?
Well,
no Bible.
Maybe the Holy Spirit could come upon somebody if they haven't read the Bible, but as their experiences continue, we would have to be able to ask them, how do you know this experience is coming from Christ? What if you had an experience where supposedly Jesus told you that there were four people in the Trinity and heaven existed on Mars and that God really doesn't command us to not murder, all of a sudden we say, well, wait a minute, we're not all on the same channel. So the Bible is there to say your relationship with the Holy Spirit, which is what's important, has still got to be consistent with the relationship that our forefathers had with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit authored this collection of 66 different documents that we call the Bible.
Yeah, written by many authors and all in agreement to the message. But the biblical illiteracy that is just sweeping across the church, and it's back to the thing we mentioned earlier in the program, people hear a preacher say something, and that's good enough. They're too lazy, or they say, I don't understand the Bible, or whatever their excuse is. They don't research it. They don't resource it. They don't look it up and see what the Scripture says. And now you have these mindsets saying, well, you know, the Bible's just not that important. And I'm thinking, you know, you're in a real dangerous place there if you don't have something to measure truth by.
And these people that say that, Jim, will still quote from the Bible. For example, if some like Rob Bell, one of the people in the Emergent Church, he's coming out and starting to suggest that maybe there isn't a hell. So you have people that say, well, I some of these verses that talk about hell, I'm not sure that Christ really said that. But you know what's interesting? When Christ told us to love people, or when Christ was feeding the 5,000, they're sure those verses come from God.
Right.
So they cherry pick. You know, who was more intellectually honest than half the Christians was Mark Twain, who was not a Christian. Mark Twain said, it's not the passages of Scripture that I don't understand which concern me. It's the passages of Scripture I do understand.
Right. That's a great quote. But you're absolutely right. And people are doing it, and they're falling for it because it's convenient, because there are troublesome things. There are troublesome things that Jesus said and that Paul said and that the writers and the characters in the script, there are difficult things. People left Jesus. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And so we have a choice to say, okay, even if I don't like it, even if it makes me uncomfortable, even if it offends somebody, I have to embrace the truth and the author of the truth. I will research now, and I know you study and you do your homework. I will look up the background and the things. I will look at the context. When you go to seminary, they used to teach you things like exegesis and hermeneutics and all of these things, how to understand what the truth is. I think that's lost now in the church culture.
Well, not only that, but what's sad is when I was in seminary, the reason they were teaching hermeneutics, which if that word is unfamiliar to all of you, it's the science of Bible interpretation, more specifically the interpretation of ancient manuscripts, which the Bible comes from. They were teaching that because they were assuming that those going to seminary were going to be pastors or in some position of leadership, and people were going to come to them to ask about the Bible. I saw nothing at seminary taught that all Christians shouldn't know. And when I did my campus ministry and in the Sunday school class I do now at Skyline, I teach hermeneutics. I teach people how to look these things up for themselves instead of feeling that they always have to come and ask me.
Yeah, exactly. And I frequently will end my messages on Sunday morning with, don't walk out of here and say, Pastor Jim said, look it up, you study, you find out for yourself, you need to be able to embrace truth. What if Pastor Jim doesn't show up next week? You know, you can't rely on me. I'm going to help you, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to do everything I can to help you to discover and understand truth. But it can't be secondhand all the time. Babies can do that. Babies have milk. And someone else does the work and digests the food and gives them nourishment. But at some point, you have to eat meat, which means you've got to eat it yourself, digest it yourself, and chew on that for a while. And that's lost in the church culture, I'm afraid, by and large.
It is. And with all the criticism the Protestants give of Catholics, of saying, your apostolic succession, the Pope, the clergy interpreting the Bible for you, quoting Martin Luther's Sola Scriptura, the same thing. We have our own denominations, and evangelical Christians, when they say they're quoting the Bible, are really just quoting their pastors half the time. We'll be right back.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Jim Barrier, my good friend, we're down always way too soon to our final segment.
Yeah. You know, that was perfect timing for the plug on your book, because I know another word you probably studied is epistemology, and the understanding of the nature of truth. And I think what's happened is that the church has, to a large degree, bought into the relativism that we used to criticize the secular community for. And we bought into all of these things like situational ethics. Remember that word that they used to use a long time ago?
Go ahead.
Well, the church has started to embrace those types of doctrines and teachings, and I would think that when the Spirit addressed the seven churches in the book of Revelation, there would be some strong talk about those types of things.
Most of those churches got a bad review or a mixed review. The Church of Philadelphia, I think, was one of the few that got a good review. Maybe the only,
I think they all got a little bit of a tongue lashing there, one way or another.
I think Philadelphia got through.
Yeah,
not our city of Philadelphia. This was the Philadelphia that was in the Asia Minor. But there was an awful lot about churches that were compromising. There were people known as the Nicolaitans that were teaching the church to actually compromise. And the Romans were asking them to compromise by worshiping Caesar and claiming that the Roman emperor was God. That was a pretty significant compromise.
Yeah. Now, we won't have time tonight, but there is a whole lot of talk again about are we at the end of times? Because we see this European Union thing. We see the stuff going on in the Mideast. We see Russia rattling its sabers. We're afraid of North Korea. And so, you know, we're back to, well, is it the end of the world? That's why we played that little bit
earlier. Except haven't we had wars and disturbance like this throughout all of human history?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that in World War One, I think there were more people killed by the flu than actually by the war. And I'm sure people said, this is it. This is the end times. I'm sure people thought Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist.
Well, yeah, because Hitler was calling Germany the Third Reich, with Rome being the first. It was a revived Roman Empire.
Yeah, yeah.
Zionists were fighting for Israel to become a nation. I do think it's significant that Israel became a nation again. But look, Israel, this is the third time Israel became a nation. The second nation of Israel, the second temple under Ezra and Nehemiah, mm-hmm. when the Persians let them go, we can look back with our history and our hindsight being 2020 and say it's pretty clear that God established Israel as a nation again in anticipation of the first coming of Christ. But it was still 400 years between when Israel became a nation again and when Christ came. One thing that does give me pause, well, a couple of things, but one of them is if those days had not been shortened, all would be destroyed. Yeah. We do have the capability now to destroy the world technologically that we didn't have before. And I find that interesting. About the anti-Semitism, the Zionism, Israel being a nation, it's all interesting stuff, but there's one clear event that Paul talked about. He called it the abomination of desolation. Someday a person's going to go into the temple, and temple means the temple they knew of in those days. That means the temple in Jerusalem. He's not talking about the temple in Salt Lake City or some other temple. Yeah. And that person's going to go into the Holy of Holies and claim to be God. And when that happens, we will know that we're 3.5 years into the tribulation. But A, that hasn't happened yet. B, there is no temple.
There's no temple.
Now, they'd have to tear down the Dome of the Rock to build the temple, and that would create World War III. But there is something very much like a World War III going on when Christ returns. So you never know that. That could happen in our lifetime, but we don't know. Christ said himself, no man knows the day or the hour. Christ said even he didn't know.
He didn't, only the Father. And I have friends that believe that everything that was in Revelation has already been fulfilled, and mainly in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. And I always, when they say stuff like that, I say, well, you know, even if that were true, there has not been anything documented in history or in current events of two prophets being killed and laying there and then raising from the dead. That hasn't happened.
Well, like with all theologies, it's partly true. It is one extreme is the people that say everything in Revelation has already happened. A lot of it did. A lot of it was what Christians were going through under Emperor Domitian, who was prosecuting and persecuting them in 90 AD. But then you have the other extreme of Christians that take the newspaper in one hand, or today the internet in one hand, and the book of Revelation in the other hand, and they don't allow for any of the things that happened. Revelation was a kind of literature called apocalyptic Hebrew literature. It was written to God's people at a time when they were suffering, which is interesting for those who claim the rapture is going to come to spare us the tribulation because God would never let his people suffer. Revelation was actually written because God's people were already being persecuted. And it was meant to comfort them during the persecution, but apocalyptic literature always took a peek behind the curtain. And part of the comfort was saying, the day of the Lord is coming. So it is true that Revelation also talks about the second coming of Christ. But so they're both partly right and partly wrong. A lot of Revelation has happened. A significant part of Revelation has not yet happened. But what we do know is that we don't know the day or the hour. Jesus told his disciples before he left the Mount of Olives, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has fixed by his authority. And yet it sells books. It sells books to try to predict when it's going to happen.
We had a local guy here whose name I won't mention on the air, but he was selling books, oh, man, about the blood moon. The blood moon. Oh, man. And everybody was all crazy. And the blood moon.
Oh, I think I know who that guy is, but I'll be merciful and I won't mention his name either.
The blood moon came and went, and guess what? We're still here.
Yeah, I mean, it staggers the imagination. We're obsessed with that. The day is going to... And what's interesting is when the real Antichrist comes, we're told he'll do signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. If people... Even the elect. Who's the elect? That's us. That's the church. If people are going to be more caught up in experience than reading the Bible, as you said, what happens is some of the same people that are probably getting all excited when Christ isn't coming, thinking he is, probably when the real Antichrist comes, they won't even recognize him because they'll be so caught up in his experiences and so mesmerized.
And that has always been the trick of the enemy, is to deceive.
Well, look how many evangelical Christians voted for Obama. And no, I'm not saying Obama is the Antichrist. However, a lot of people followed him for the same reason people will follow the Antichrist. They were taken in by his charm, his charisma. Yeah. He uses the word compassion, and all of a sudden they don't look at any of his doctrine, anything he believes in. And I'm not saying that for somebody to be a good president, they have to be an evangelical Christian. Jimmy Carter was a born-again Christian. He's one of the worst presidents we've ever had. But I am saying that Christians, he looks better these days. But when Christians go get on this bandwagon, they don't use any discernment. Just because a word like compassion is used, and Obama's one of the least compassionate presidents we've ever had, but he knows how to use the word compassion.
He knows how to use the word, but he's very selective. And he has been, at least in my lifetime, the most antagonistic toward Christians. You know, he says some pretty tough things about Christianity.
He does, and Trump is promising to protect Christians' rights, and I'd rather have someone who's not born again protecting our rights than somebody who claims to be a Christian who's selling our rights. By the way, now I just heard this today. I read an article where James Dobson says that Donald Trump became a Christian and was led to Christ during that conference he had with the 1,000-some evangelical magic. Now, I just heard this today. Have you heard anything about that?
No, and I'll see, I'll look into that. And you know, when Jimmy Carter was around, everybody was becoming a Christian. I mean, it was very popular to do that, and celebrities and everything. I don't know. I had not heard that. I've always thought that if there's a genuine conversion experience, you're going to see some fruit from it. So let's wait and see.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And I wouldn't tell people vote for Trump just because he became a Christian. Let's say it's true. I would say vote for Trump because the alternative is Hillary and we're going to lose the Supreme Court. Yeah. That's still the reason I would give.
Listen, when the peanut farmer ran, I had friends that said, "Hey, he's a born again Christian. Aren't you going to vote for him?" I said, "No, I might have him teach Sunday school, but I don't want him running the country." And that was a long time ago, and I still had enough understanding to see that can't be what you balance things on.
Well, when Gore was running against Bush and he picked Lieberman as his running mate, people knowing I was Jewish said, "Well, aren't you going to vote for Lieberman because he's Jewish? I mean, aren't you going to vote for Gore? He's got a Jewish running mate." I said, "I wouldn't vote for Gore if Jesus Christ was his running mate." On that one. Okay, my friend.
We're out of time.
Always good to hear from you. Well, it'll be a while before Hillary gets into office, so you and I have a couple more shows before the Fairness Doctrine.
Sounds good.
Take care, my friend.
Thanks. We'll be right back.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.